most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Number four of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. A lot coming your way between now and when we step aside at 7 o'clock. But right now, a golden attaboy hangs in the balance, an audio reward just waiting in the wings if you can answer and rise to today's trivia challenge, the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what is the question today?
Here's the question. Now, there has talk that Tua Tagovailoa is going to be a top five pick in the NFL draft. He's left-handed. Which left-handed quarterback has the most passing yards in his career in the NFL? Which left-handed quarterback has the most career passing yards in the NFL?
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Repeat the question one more time, if you would.
Which left-handed quarterback has the most career passing yards in the NFL?
Let's go to Danny. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Danny.
Good, how are you? How you doing, Jimmy?
Hey, doing great, Danny. Hope you are, too.
Well, if I can get this right, left-handed quarterback in NFL.
Right.
I'm going to say Dan Marino.
Not Marino. He was actually right-handed.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. Sure do appreciate it, Danny. Thank you very much. Who is our next guesser? 656-9900, 656-9900 with your guess. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Terrence is up next. Hello, Terrence.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Thank you, sir.
Glad to hear it. Who is your guess?
I'm going to go with Steve Young.
It is not Steve Young, and when I saw the trivia question, that was my guess. But it's
me
not
too.
Steve
me
Young.
Too, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
that
was mine.
Guys. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Sure do appreciate it. Be well, Terrence. That was my first guess as well. But have a great night. Our next contestant. Let's go to Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay, my guess would be Jim Zorn.
It is not Jim Zorn. That's another good guess. He had a lot of good years with the Seattle Seahawks. And he is left-handed.
Yeah, I'm a Raiders fan, and I'm a Raiders fan, and I first thought, but he always gave the Raiders trouble. So
yes,
anyway, thank you guys.
He gave everybody in that five-team AFC West he was a pill, because Steve Largent just scored again on the Broncos, as far as I can remember. But anyhow, yeah, that's a great guess. But Dwayne, we sure do appreciate it. Mo is up next. Hello, Mo.
Hey. They took the first two, so I'm going to have to go with the snake, Ken Stabler.
That was my second guess. It, too, was not correct.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought for sure it was the younger
Stabler.
I thought
him Stabler. And Jim Zorn was – yeah. Wow. I don't remember the other left-hand quarterback, to be honest, but thanks for taking my question. Thank you.
We sure do appreciate it, Mo. Thank you very much. Jimmy, repeat the question, if you would.
Which left-handed quarterback has the most career passing yards in the NFL?
656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. It's Derek who's up next. Hello, Derek.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
How you doing, John?
Doing well. Hope you are. Have you got a guess for us?
Yeah, I'm going to say Boomer Esiason.
There you go. Boomer Esiason, who, if I'm not mistaken, played against Tennessee while at Maryland in a bowl game in the early to mid-1980s. But it is Boomer Esiason who racked up a lot of yards, John, with the Cincinnati Bengals. You remember him very well, don't you?
Oh, very much so. And I was thinking if we got to the hint stage, it would be, you know, he played his games about as close to Knoxville as you could, with one other city being the exception. And then also the fact that you hear him from time to time with our top of the hour CBS Sports Minutes, as you get to hear some of his opinion pieces before noon. But that is outstanding work, Derek. Did you grow up a Bengals fan, or did you just think about Boomer being a lefty?
Just a big sports fan in general.
His total was 37,920 yards. Now, that certainly pales by comparison when you look at Peyton Manning and Drew Brees and Tom Brady. But at the time he retired, that was pretty impressive. But he has the record for the most passing yards by a left-handed quarterback in the NFL for a career in NFL history. Good job, Derek.
Appreciate it.
Yes, that is well done. So hang on the line. Again, we don't have prizes to give away at this point in time, but we look forward to the day when we get to. So we give you this golden attaboy, and now we present to you your audio reward.
I was styling out there like a champion. Yeah,
sit back with your feet up and watch the champion in action.
I am truly the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
There is no one that does it better than the Macho Man Randy Savage.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
You're looking at the next WWF champion, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
Again, we congratulate Derek, as tonight he was up to the challenge that was the Sports Fix at 6, and we look forward to bringing you another question tomorrow night as we start the fourth and final hour of Sports Talk. But we've got a lot more coming your way, and again, if you want to join the conversation, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. When we return, we look forward to bringing you comments from VFL Charles Davis. That's next on Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1, The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. And, Jimmy, tomorrow we can say we're looking forward to our regular Wednesday guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. But you, sir, have been very hard at work, because we also look forward to hearing from Mac Brown, which will be at 3:35, and then George Quarles, who will join us after John McClain around 5:35. And then also very excited that we get to connect with Tennessee baseball coach Tony Vitello, and he will be glad to take our listeners' questions and call-ins. So while he joins us in hour number two of the program at 4 o'clock, so we are already excited about tomorrow's program as well as this last hour.
Yeah, Mac Brown got back into coaching last year at North Carolina, had a really nice year. Almost upset Clemson. He has a really good quarterback. Their offense was very productive, and he's also recruiting well. And then you got George Quarles, one of the greatest high school coaches in the history of Tennessee. He just finished his second year as the offensive coordinator at Furman. He's been there 3 years and made the playoffs twice. And the number three opponent for Tennessee this season, the Furman Paladins. So we look forward to visiting with George Quarles.
Let's get a call from Gary. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Gary.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, listen, I listen to y'all. I'm 74 years old, listen to y'all all the time down here in Fairhope, Alabama. But the only reason I'm calling is because tonight on HBO, they are having a show about the corruption in college basketball. And I think the LSU, and I think the LSU coach is pretty well brought out to for what he is. And that's all I wanted to say. You know, I listen to y'all forever. I remember watching Pete Maravich take a hook shot at the top of the circle in Stokely. So I've been around, but I just wanted people to watch that to see what a cheater he is. Okay. That's all
well,
I needed.
Yeah, well, sure do appreciate it, Gary. Thank you very much for the reminder on that. We talked about it a little while ago, had not mentioned it today, so timing is everything. And but, Jimmy, not only are there taped remarks with Will Wade, but also Sean Miller, Arizona's coach.
Yeah. Sean Miller, Arizona's coach, basically bid farewell to the fans his last regular season game, thinking that was it, and he came back for another year. Will Wade, many people thought because he had a strong offer to a player, it was like, how's this guy still in coaching? Well, I was covering the SEC spring meetings a year ago, and he made an appearance there. It was the first time he had talked to the media, and about 90% of the media walked away saying, how's he still coaching in college basketball? I will say this. Sometimes you can read what is written, but when you hear it yourself, it can even have a greater impact. And I just wonder when, and maybe there's some new information as well, but I wonder when people watch this, if they're going to scratch their heads and say, how did LSU not fire this guy? Because that's a question that many people ask. And I do think that that's going to be asked again after this HBO show airs.
I'll say this. I don't pretend to have any behind-the-scenes, anything, knowledge beyond what has been printed and discussed in the time since all of this blew up. But it seems as though it's a very commonly thought notion that Will Wade's just approach to it, questioning how dare you question me, is the reason he still has it, is that LSU simply backed down from the opportunity to move on. And I do think the optics are going to be really uncomfortable in Baton Rouge and Tucson after tonight's airing.
Yeah, I do too. And the interesting thing is, I recall with Wade, initially he declined to meet with LSU. And then he got another attorney, and that attorney said, you need to talk to him. So not only, my understanding, not only did he meet with LSU officials, he met with NCAA officials, he answered all their questions, and somehow that satisfied him. And I think his position was this. Yes, I said it. I was boasting. I never followed through with it. I never paid this guy any money. And there was never a paper trail. There was never proof. Key Smart denied it. The mom denied it. There was all denials that money ever changed hands. And I think without proof, the NCAA and LSU said, okay, and they let it go.
Yeah, every now and then you need that Emory package that's ripped open to show the stacks of bills, right?
Yeah, that's right.
All the cash.
And somewhere, what's his name, Dwayne Casey's thinking, hey, I know better than that. So,
right,
yeah,
they just tape that bad boy down.
That's right. So, I'm looking forward to watching this and to see if I have any different impression or different take than when I initially read these reports, gosh, a year and a half, 2 years ago? It's been a while, hasn't it?
Has been a while.
Yeah.
It hasn't been that long since Charles Davis was on Vol Calls. In fact, that was last night. So here is the VFL checking in with Bob Kessling and Brent Hubbs.
So questions about Major League Baseball. Also questions about the NFL draft, how the scouts are going to evaluate and how the teams are going to pick people. And somebody trying to figure all that out is, of course, Charles Davis, the former Tennessee safety and, of course, Sugar Bowl champion and now one of the great broadcasters on Fox, and he's getting said one of his strong points is the NFL draft. Charles, thanks for joining us tonight. First of all, how you doing down there in Orlando?
Hey, Bob. Hey, Brent. Doing well. Family's good. We're lucky thus far and hope to continue to be that fortunate and hope that everyone who can hear our voices in Big Orange Country, hope they're as fortunate as we are, and if not, hope things turn around really fast. This is something. There's no other way to put it, guys. I mean, we are battling one of the biggest invisible battles we've had to fight, and you just don't know which direction it's coming from. So I know we're all trying to do all the right things, flatten the curve, social distance, and keep our fingers crossed, and we'll see how it goes from here.
Charles, what do you think is the uncertainty now with the NFL in concerning the draft? How they're going to figure out which players now, they haven't had a chance to really work them out in the way they'd like to go to campuses, yeah, and learn much more about them. How do you think this is going to play out, and how do you think that might affect some of the players? Because a lot of them, they up their stock when they get across the table from a general manager and they do those one-on-one interviews and things. How do you think that's going to affect everything?
Yeah, those are excellent points. I think the teams that have planned well and know how to adjust on the fly well and are spending no time worrying about what they can't get but focusing on what they can do, those teams will be fine come draft time. And what I mean by fine is they will go ahead and handle it and do things pretty darn well and come away with a typical good crop of prospects. The ones that are sitting there wringing their hands saying, oh, my God, we didn't get a chance to see them and we didn't get across the table. Guess what? You're probably not a good organization to begin with. It's just kind of how it works. Because in today's day and age, guys, you know we can do the video conferencing, right? You can do the talking. It's not as good, but it's the best option you have, and the best teams are taking advantage of that. And the really good franchises who have scouted these young men for 2 to 3 years already, they already have their scouting reports on them. They've watched a ton of tape. They've seen them in person. They called them at the postseason All-Star games when they had a chance. They did all of those things. It's an unusual year. It's not going to be perfect. But those who just focused on getting it done, and like my friend John Lynch with the 49ers is telling his group, no excuses, folks. Just do the job. Those franchises will be fine.
Charles, when you look at it, are you surprised the NFL is going on full speed ahead with the draft in April and did not move it back like maybe Major League Baseball has for a month? Do you think there was much conversation about pushing the draft back to where – perhaps there's an opportunity for some face-to-face stuff maybe in May before a draft would happen in late May?
There's plenty of that discussion, and there are plenty of people who believe it would have been the right thing to do. I personally think this was the right move for the NFL to continue to go forward because they own the sports landscape right now.
Right.
Right? And if you push it back, well, let's say they had voted 2 weeks ago, we're going to push the draft back and we'll have a chance to see these kids face-to-face. Yesterday, our president came out and said 30 more days of social distancing, folks. Right? So there was never any guarantee they were going to get in front of these kids anyway. So go ahead, do the draft, stay on schedule, do all the things you can do without hurting our country and our world because the NFL wasn't on the field. Right, as we know, as the three of us know, if the NFL had been on the field when this thing hit, the NFL would have been off the field just like NBA's off the court, NHL's off the ice, MLS off the pitch, etc. But that's not what they had to face. They could still do business, and we do business the way we do business in 2020. Telecommunications, right? You opened it up that way. I think it was the best move for them. Stay on track, because once we get the signal that we're good to go again, the NFL's ready to hit the ground running. You move things back, unresolved, you're still trying to catch up again. The NFL's going to be best positioned to be ready to go, and a lot of that is just being fortunate, if there is such a word during this time, that they just weren't playing. Other sports, they got nailed because they were in the middle of their season.
Charles, let me ask you, not about specific players, but I think about guys coming off injuries who needed a pro day, or a guy who did not get at the combine, such as a Nigel Warrior at Tennessee, not off an injury, but hasn't had a chance to show himself to the scouts. Tua, obviously, at Alabama coming off the injury. How does the NFL evaluate guys like that to know where they should go in the draft or where they would be on their draft board?
That's a great question. And I think for most of them, that may be a bit of a challenge, because if you haven't had a chance to get in front of teams, as you noted, if you didn't get a chance to go to the combine, if you didn't get the medical checks at the combine, things of that nature, how much will teams be able to chase and pursue and see where you are now with general readiness and health? I'm going to take Tua and put him on a different side, because we all want to know how Tua's doing. Because Tua's been on the landmark, and people are just trying to decide if he's going to be the number two quarterback off the board, and will that be in the top five of this draft. So people are going to work harder to try and get information, people around Tuscaloosa, the video he sent out. There will be another doctor's check somewhere. Everyone's going to try and find access to that information. But if you're not as highly rated, I don't know that they're going to chase you quite the same way. And that's where it's a bit of a problem for those kids. Because as you noted, they would have had a better chance with pro days, with being able to organize their own things. I saw a kid that I was working out with. Well, I wouldn't work out with him because he's a kid and he can actually do things. But I was in the same gym, and he was working out, and he's going to be an undrafted free agent who transferred from an SEC school to a 1AA school and trying to figure out, what am I going to do? Because he was going to go back to that SEC school's pro day. Now there's no pro day for him. Do you really think the NFL is going to spend a ton of time trying to chase down his stuff? Probably not. Tua? Guess what? They're going to know everything they need to know about Tua. Somehow, some way, they will. For the other kids, it's going to be tougher.
With Charles Davis of Fox Sports, and of course a great former Tennessee safety man in his day with the Volunteers. Charles, I think one thing that people are starting to focus in on a little bit, the NFL is used to having mini camps coming up, training camps opening up in July. That's creeping up on us. And do you think that the NFL season could be pushed back? Is it in jeopardy?
I think everything's in jeopardy right now, Bob. I don't think for any of us to sit here and say, well, we know exactly what's going to happen in X number of months. We don't. And I'm leaving it to our medical experts. I'm leaving it to Dr. Burks, Dr. Fauci, who's given us the reports. I want to hear from them to tell us, because I know there was this school of thought immediately. Well, as soon as the country gets hot, we're going to burn this virus out and we're going to be okay. I don't know that it's going to be quite that simple. I'm seeing numbers now talking about 100,000, 200,000 people that we may lose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And by the way, for all of us on this conversation, we're hoping it's not us. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but for any of us who think that we're immune to this thing, we're all nuts, all right?
Yeah.
This thing is not discriminating by age. It's not discriminating. It sounds like it's age, but it's not. We're not discriminating by fame, Tom Hanks and his wife, Prince Charles. We're not doing it by money, some of the richest people out there. This thing is affecting people all across the board, and we just hope that it stops soon, real soon. But, anything could be affected right now. Football looks like it's going to be okay, but we don't know. Things could very well be pushed, Bob.
Indeed. Yeah, you're right. Charles, it's always great to talk to you. Stay safe down there. Keep your family safe. Stay social distancing and all that kind of stuff. And we hope to see you in the fall for sure.
Yeah, we hope the same thing, and you guys do the same thing, you and your family. And everyone can hear our voices in Big Orange Country. Stay safe. Stay strong. Go Vols.
There you go. Thanks, Charles. Charles Davis from Fox Sports with us.
And so, Charles Davis on Vol calls last night, which, again, to update the Vol Network schedule, last night was the final episode for this season of Vol calls, and you can look forward to one more edition of The Nation with Chris Lowe and Austin Price. That'll come up this Sunday. But, Jimmy, always good to hear from Charles Davis.
Well, it is, and certainly one of the great representatives from the University of Tennessee. He's done a terrific job as a broadcaster. He's done everything he touches, he does really well. But he's also to be the speaker at the Greater Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame banquet July the 21st. We hope that we have that, and I'd love to hear what he has to say, but that's another one of those things that's uncertain. We just don't know, but hopefully things will be cleared up enough to where he can come speak and benefit a tremendous cause, which is the Boys and Girls Club of the Greater Tennessee Valley.
Certainly look forward to and hope that is indeed the case. We'll get a break. We've got more coming your way. 656-9900 is how you join us. 656-9900 puts you on Sports Talk.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. To join us, 656-9900, 656-9900. And, Jimmy, we don't have results to talk about, but there really isn't a shortage of news and news from the Tennessee Lady Vols.
Yeah, this one stings a little bit. Point guard Jasmine Massengale, who just finished her sophomore season, has entered the transfer portal. She said this was a difficult decision. She said she appreciated her teammates. She appreciated her coaching staff, but she has decided to move on. And that's very disappointing for a couple of reasons. In particular, Tennessee, from what we were told from the previous staff, they focused on Massengale as a recruit. She's from Chattanooga, over Ryan Howard from Cleveland. And then when they went back in on Howard, it was too late. Howard's an All-American. She's the SEC Player of the Year. And now you've lost Massengale to a transfer. That will go down as one of the bigger recruiting mistakes the Lady Vols have made. Well, maybe ever, but certainly in the last decade. But so Massengale is leaving the program, and now you talk about a shortage of point guards for the Lady Vols. I don't know who takes over that position. They weren't Massengale's assist to turnover ratio was pretty good, but I thought she was a little bit passive as a point guard. Didn't penetrate a lot, and maybe just didn't create much. I don't know what they're going to do now. That's going to be a big challenge for them because I don't really see a true point guard on this team, and not even a true point guard, just somebody that I would say is a good combo guard that could handle a point. And I don't know if in recruiting they brought in, what, Tess Darby. They've got Destiny that's coming in from Arkansas. I just think there's a pretty good gap at point guard, which could impact Tennessee showing a lot of progress next season. We'll see.
Yeah, I do think that's very valid in terms of both the question and the concern. I will say this. I think even though we knew and we saw time and time again that it was high risk with Jordan Horston, I also like the way that she always looks to make a play. Obviously, she needs to do a better job controlling the basketball. Her teammates need to do a better job of catching the basketball, and her decision-making needs a big step up. But I also like, especially when you look at that last game that we saw the Lady Vols, that was the lopsided loss to Kentucky in the SEC tournament, I thought she had one of her better games in terms of just making things happen, even though, again, the turnovers really need to come down.
They do, and that's a challenge for her. She may be forced to play the point. I see her more as a two guard, but she may be forced into that just because they don't have many others that could step up and play that position. So that's going to be a challenge. Here's the thing, too. So Massengale has entered the transfer portal, right? Don't you think Kelly Harper's looking in that transfer portal trying to find a point guard? I would be.
I'd say that the portal swings both ways.
A week ago, there were more than 300 male players in college basketball in the transfer portal. I don't have any idea what the number is for the women, but boy, I tell you what, this would be a great time for a good point guard to be in that transfer portal so Tennessee could find one.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Last night on Vol Calls, it was an opportunity for Bob and Brent to catch up with VFL and World Series champion Yan Gomes.
This new situation is developing every day as people are adjusting to these things. And one person that's having to adjust to is Yan Gomes, who, of course, was in spring training with the Washington Nationals, and suddenly everything just kind of came to an abrupt halt, and now we're waiting to see when the Major League Baseball season starts up. Well, we're glad to have Yan on the line with us tonight. Yan, thanks, and tell us how you're passing time now as you're waiting for the baseball season to crank back up.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me. Well, passing time is just spending a lot of time here at home, really. We got a group of, like, two guys, really. Don't even know if we call that a group. Just two other athletes that I hang out with here that we train together. We made it to where it's just us two or us three working out. But other than that, just kind of exploring around here and getting to actually kind of enjoy a little bit of the weather. I've never really been around here this time of the year.
Yan, can you walk us through the day that they finally came in and said, I mean, you're right in the middle of spring training with the Nationals, and they come in and say, hey, guys, you got to go home or you can stay here. What did they tell you, and how did that affect things?
Yeah, actually, we were playing, and we were about like in the third or fourth inning, and rumors started going around that news came out that they canceled spring training. They said that they were canceling spring training at 4 p.m. Eastern. We were still playing the game. We finished that game, actually. And then we had a meeting that next morning. And then kind of everyone knew what was going on. The guys had already somewhat made decisions of going home. But then when they said it was more serious than they thought, everyone just decided to go quarantine in their home places.
Yeah, and I guess at first, like everybody else, they thought, well, this will be 2 or 3 weeks, and the season will get pushed back to maybe mid-April, and everything will be fine. But now we found out it's much more serious than that. Now the season could be in jeopardy because even though they say, well, you can start maybe in June, it's still going to take time to get – you got to go back to spring training almost, don't you?
Yeah, I think the negotiations now, or at least the talks between players and owners, is how short and ready can we get ourselves? Because, I mean, last thing we want to do is, you know, make the sacrifice of like, okay, let's go 2 weeks, but then guys aren't ready, and it's a long season. I think we're going to have to try to make up a lot of games. And, you know, guys will, you know, start getting hurt and whatever it is. But yeah, we're looking at, I'm not trying to give you a date here, but sometime like a 3 week camp at least. So whenever that starts, whenever, we get to clear really from CDC, we'll, start planning on, wherever we got to go, whether it's our, home city or our spring training city.
Yan, how much, I know you said you were working out, but that's not playing baseball. What kind of shape do you think you're in right now, and how long do you think it would take you to get ready to play?
I'm honestly in probably the best shape physically right now that I can be in. But you can't quite get your body like baseball ready without actually playing baseball. So, but, you know, knowing the sacrifice that we would have to make either way, I think once we start getting a clearing of when we're supposed to come back, I think I'll start ramping up baseball activities way more than I usually would do as in an off season. So I would, you know, do a lot more catching stuff in the off season and not wait to get my bearings and my feet under me when we get to spring training. I would have to be ready to play as much as I can once we get into spring training.
Yan, you, of course, played at Tennessee in the mid-2000s and had a great career at Tennessee. And what was your first year? Was 2007?
Yeah.
And but you got a chance. You got a chance to play with J.P. Arencibia, and you got a chance to play other position around the infield. While you were playing at Tennessee, could you ever have – I know you wanted to get to the big leagues, but could you have ever imagined you'd have such great success and have World Series rings and be now regarded as one of the best catchers in baseball? That's a tribute to your hard work and where you took it from your days at Tennessee.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate you saying that. It was really I was too naive still to even understand of what of that next level. Growing up, as you know, I grew up in Brazil until I was 12. There was never like a dream of, you know, like most kids here in the U.S. where they grew up wanting to be big leaguers and you go to base. Like that wasn't me at all. So it really wasn't until going into my sophomore year and junior year where I was like, man, this professional baseball is really going to – I might actually really do this. I was just enjoying the opportunity of getting to play at such a high level of college baseball. Coming from a small place in Miami, I don't even really think I knew Tennessee. So when I got that chance of coming out here, changing the scenery, getting the competition that I was getting, it definitely prepared me to go into the professional baseball. And then once that hit, once I took it as a where, you know, it's up to me to do to get myself to the higher levels, I took in a lot of pride on my work. And just the way I carried myself. And I think I had a lot of good mentors during that time that I really owe my career to. So I was very blessed in that department.
Well, you got to play behind J.P. Arencibia, who, of course, also had a great Major League Baseball career. Mm-hmm. How much did you learn from J.P.? And even when you both were in the big leagues together, did you stay in touch and get to talk to each other and kind of encourage each other along?
Yeah, JP and I talk about every day or every other day. We FaceTime each other all the time. We still have a very strong relationship, and I think it was you know, when we were at Tennessee, JP and I, like, even though we played together for 1 year, we became very close. And then when I got to, you know, Toronto, he kind of took me under a little bit. I mean, I wasn't, you know, trying to, you know, be that little annoying brother that just followed him around. I didn't want to put that on him. But, I mean, he would take me to dinner. I mean, we had a lot of common friends, so I did want to do, you know, experience a lot of the things myself and how I was going to grow. And then once I saw that he got the big leagues, it kind of became a little bit more real that, you know, how close, you know, all of us are from making that big step. And then when we both got to play together in Toronto, that was a really cool moment. It made it a very easy transition for me, having a good friend of mine on the team together. And then after that, it was just a matter of, getting myself acclimated into the big leagues. And I was still a very terrified rookie. But JP definitely helped me out a bunch.
Well, he sure did, and you did a lot on your own. You've had just a tremendous big league career. And JP, I think he also has took a lot of pride in your success. So you guys really kind of grew up together, and we congratulate both of you. But, Jan, thanks for being with us tonight. Congratulations on your terrific big league career and your last season with the Washington Nationals. We hope you get to play this year and hope you have another big season coming up this season.
I know, man. I do hope so as well, but what's going on in this world, it's just it's sad, and we all just need to come together and pray for the ones that are sick, pray for this virus to go away and for us to be able to go back to normal life.
Well put. Sure. Thanks, John. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you guys for having me.
Okay. Jan Gomes of the Washington Nationals, former Tennessee catcher who has gone on to just have a tremendous big league career in Major League Baseball.
So, Yan Gomes joining Brent Hubbs and Bob Kessling last night on Ball Calls. And, Jimmy, it is something we got to speak with Mike Barnett last week and just find out what it was like when all of a sudden you're hearing rumblings and then those became grumblings and then up to a roar that now, at first it was going to be the fans can't attend and then everything was shut down. Just amazing how quickly it went from the conversation to the gates coming down.
Well, and the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred, he is hoping that they can get something going in mid to late May. That would be a great sign because I think that would be an indication we're getting back to some normalcy in our country. But it's hard to be real optimistic. You want to be, but it's hard to be when you hear the Pac-12 shutting down till May 31st. The SEC spring meetings are canceled. Chinese Basketball League has suspended play. So you got so many different moving targets, but let's hope that things will slow down in our country with this virus. We can get a grasp on it and try to get back to playing some sports. I think we would all agree that would be a certainly inviting given where we are right now.
Yeah, very much so. I don't know if you saw the news, but the mayor of Toronto, which obviously would be vital to any resuming of play in the NBA or the Major League Baseball ball getting rolling for the Blue Jays and the Raptors, he has canceled all major city events through June 30th.
I did not see that. June 30th. Wow.
Yes. Yep. Now, granted, we might see activity, and in all likelihood we'll see activity with empty stands or when you look at neutral sites or different things like that. I do think that we will see activity, but that was big news today coming from the city of Toronto. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
This is Sports Radio WNML.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Let's see if we can't work in a quick question from Roger, who joins us now. Hello, Roger.
Well, hey, John, Jimmy, how y'all doing tonight?
Doing well. Hope everyone is well where you are.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, John. I just want to ask you a quick, I know you have about time, so I just want to ask you both, John, Jimmy and John both want to ask you, but I know golfers ain't playing right now. I know y'all used to watching golf. I just want to ask you, how different, Jimmy and John both, how different is it right now? Usually y'all watching golf right now. How different is it right now for not being able to watch golf and watch Tiger and all that right now? I know it's different for y'all. How different is it right now, not watching that right now?
Very. Roger, I'm used to watching a lot of golf. I enjoy it, in particular on the weekend. I don't get to watch it much on Thursday and Friday because of work, but I love watching it on the weekend. And a lot of times I like watching the tournaments because I think the views are so spectacular, whether that's in Hawaii, whether that's in California, whether that's in Florida. But now we've kind of been robbed of that, and so it's something I really do miss over the weekend.
Yeah, I do as well. And Roger, we sure do appreciate the call.
Okay, sure.
I don't think there's any question, Jimmy. One of the things I always enjoy is when they have the flyovers where they'll show you how a hole is constructed. And as you mentioned, they play in so many beautiful venues and courses that's one of my favorite parts of it. I actually enjoy that a little bit more than I do watching any particular golfer just for the incredible scenery, but it's all a part of it, and unfortunately that's one of the things right now that so many people are missing. But we should point out, Jimmy, that we are at some point going to be able for folks to get back out, enjoy the weather, and coming up later this week, folks can go to 99.1thesportsanimal.com and they'll be able to buy this year's golf card.
Got a lot of great courses on the golf card, and you get a tremendous deal. It's you get great rates based on the card, so make sure you jump on those if you can.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We appreciate our guests. Appreciate you for listening to Sports Talk.